Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. Hi, everybody. It's Julie Calamine, one of the three Tuesday Morning Show hosts. We're through the membership drive. Wow, what a relief, and it was a successful one. We did well. We had lots of listeners renewing and lots more to come. If you haven't yet renewed and you were thinking about it last week, it's easy to do. Go to krfy.org, and you'll see a donate tab. Just push on that, and it'll walk you through. So anyway... Everyone's a little tired out after a busy week last week, but very satisfied, and we had a lot of fun. Hope you did too, listeners. Before I jump into what's going to be a very fun interview this morning, I'm going to give a quick weather report, and I'm just glancing at it now, so if I stumble, bear with me. But it looks like spring weather continues today, high 48, partly sunny. That's the day to get out and go hiking, right? Okay, I've got to introduce her now because we're talking about hiking days. Emily Strizich, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, I'm going to come back to you in a second, but she knows a lot about hiking and trails, et cetera. We're getting there in a moment. Anyway, tonight it's going down to 32, rain with a chance of snow. I guess, you know, it's the end of March, last day of March. I could be out like a lion tonight. And then tomorrow will be April 1st. We've got a high of 45 and, oh boy, 90% chance of rain and snow and possibly showers. Boy, so the weather is kind of going to heck later in the week. It looks like a rainy week, highs in the middle 40s, lows in the middle 30s. We know this weather in Sandpoint, spring weather, chance of rain every day until Saturday, and then it's mostly Sunday, sunny, and a high of 56. So I think that's our gardening, hiking, having fun day. And for those who have a regular work week, boy, that's the perfect day for it, Saturday. Let's see if I can find Sunday for us. It's only Tuesday. You can all look at your own weather report too. But it's also mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 61. So spring is coming. Seems like forever, but it's going to get here. Well, speaking of spring things, getting onto trails and getting out hiking and taking care of trails, et cetera, is a big part of our spring. And we are so lucky, listeners, this morning to have Emily Strizich from, and I got to get it right because it's our first interview with this association, the Northern Rockies Trail Project. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
Board president, ED, what are you
exactly? I'm the board chair. We're a working board there. Yeah, we have no paid position, so I'm the board chair.
That is the big dog position. Way to go.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Yes. And just to save you the mouthful of it, we tend to call it the Trail Project because I know that is at Northern Rockies Trail Project is a mouthful, but
it sure
we can
is.
Just shorten it to the Trail Project because that kind of encapsulates what we do.
Oh, good. Now, yeah. Emily, we've had you on air before. We've had you with us, but it hasn't been in this, not in this position.
No, you bring up a great point. Yeah, so for the past 18 months, I've been the executive director at Pondere Peddlers.
Yes.
And that actually, you know, the Northern Rockies Trail Project is an offshoot of that. It became clear to our board at Pondere Peddlers that to meet the moment of the stewardship needs in the region, you know, with changes in federal staffing, state staffing, we needed to build a bigger table. And that became abundantly clear one day we were out on a trail work at Hayes Gulch, which is, you know, one of the trailheads over on Gold Hill. And I had contacted some friends of mine who were avid dirt bikers because, you know, that's a multi-use area over there. And at the end of that trail work day, one of my friends came up to me and he said, you know, thank you so much for inviting us, Emily. No one has ever invited us to work together before. And that struck me as such a missed opportunity. One, they have motors. so that makes schlepping tools quite a bit easier. But, you know, there are so many recreationalists in this community. And I know I wear many hats. You know, some days I'm dirt biking, some days mountain biking, some days trail running or riding horses. And I know that a lot of folks identify as more than just one user group. So the idea that we could build an organization that represented everybody just made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I bet it was inspiring. I bet you got excited.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think it's really nice to see other folks inspired by that work, too. And I think a lot of folks have, you know, so many people move here and live here because of the access to outdoor recreation and people want to be involved in their communities and find a way to give back. And it feels like this is a wonderful, practical way for us to be able to harness that.
Right. I mean, this is a great idea, and folks are all kind of working in their own little areas, trying to get their trails up and running. And yes, for you to try and get folks to come together and work together sounds like an exciting idea.
Especially in these days and times, right? Like, you know, I think we're a pretty polarized country. And for folks to come together over something as precious as public land access and maintaining trails to keep them open and usable, you know, I think people start to see that whether you ride a dirt bike or a horse, like, we have more in common than separates us. So to me, it feels like this little revolution to get to bring people together. And, you know, we're not trying to compete with it. There's some incredible organizations that exist in this community. And, you know, we at the Trail Project will have collaborations with Idaho Trails Association. We have some trail work days with Pondere Peddlers. So we're doing what we can to support and work with other groups that exist and support the work they do and not compete with anyone.
Way to go. And it's a pretty young organization, obviously. What do the members look like? What does your board look like? Who's on it?
That's a great question. So we tried to represent sort of all of the different user groups. So we have Kenny Markwart. He's the vice chair, and he's an avid hunter and fisherman and a business coach as well. So that helps. And I'm like, hey, how the heck do you do this? And then Nick Bandy, he represents just about every user group. He's a boater, a dirt biker, a snowmobiler, skier, backcountry skier, all that stuff. And he has been involved in trail work here for a long time. His dad, Buster, is the namesake of Buster's Bullion over on Gold Hill.
Did not know.
Yeah.
How cool.
Oh, my gosh. And very just cool. I don't know if you know Buster. He's just the most incredible guy. Ben Knockless, he is an avid backcountry skier. He's also an engineer, which really comes in handy when we're drawing up site plans. Leo Schmelzer, he works in the finance world. He's a backpacker, hiker, biker. We tried to, Ryan Zimmer, he rides just about every bike beautifully and does all sorts of good things in the backcountry. He's also an incredible photographer and trail builder. So we've tried to capture a lot of expertise. We also have advisory board members, Kathy Gidley, and she works really closely, or she is, I'm going to butcher her role at Trout Unlimited. So I'm just going to say she's a big deal at Trout Unlimited. And then Jenny Grimmett, who is a local veterinarian and literally wrote the book on North Idaho equestrian trails. So they've been incredible resources. And like I said, folks that I've brought this, I have brought this to have been so energized by what we're doing.
So that's exciting. And I'm curious to know, with the many, many organizations that will work on trails, I mean, we've got the, well, I mean, there's the Forest Service, there is Idaho Trails Association, as you've mentioned already, Friends of Scotchman Peak does, you know, their work in the proposed wilderness area. Mm-hmm. And then I think there might even be more than this, but that's just in the hiking group. How are you putting it together, what your projects are going to look like? How's that coming along?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I can give some examples for what we're doing this summer. So Trail 120 up, we all know Trail 120. It's got some of the best views of the area, I think. But Idaho Trails Association has a trail day planned out there. Now, historically, they have not worked with chainsaws. So when they use crosscut saws, you might imagine it's a little less efficient. Our crews are trained and certified to use chainsaws. So our crews can go in and saw things out more efficiently, and then the folks at Idaho Trails Association are going to help us by bucking those things off the trail to get them, you know, 3 feet off the side from either way. But so that's like what one of the collaboration looks like. Or another one with ITA is they are working with Backcountry Horsemen. Oh, I forgot to mention them. We're working with Backcountry Horsemen as well.
Those guys are great.
I love them. So there's the trail project on the Priest River Trail. And they need to build punch-ins. In order to do that, they're going to have to fell some large trees to make the stringers for those punch-ins. And our crews have folks that are certified to be able to do that. It's like a C Sawyer certification, which is like, you really know what you're doing when you're a C level. So we're kind of, like I said, filling gaps where needed. Like, these other groups have projects going on, and they're like, gosh, here's a gap that we have that exists in this project. Can the folks at the Trail Project help us fill that? And we are more than happy to get that done.
Sure. And are there going to be any projects that might involve you using something like an ATV or a dirt bike to get to the project?
So, yes. As many of your listeners are aware, there were a bunch of staffing changes that happened at the Forest Service over the past 2 years. So we are incredibly honored to have a fully funded agreement with the feds to be able to actually steward the entire Panhandle National Forest, which is something like the size of two Rhode Islands. Or something wild like that.
It's huge.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yes. And so beautiful and just such an incredible resource. And so we have crews all the way from the Canadian border down to St. Mary's that will be doing work. And in some of those areas, we'll have hiking crews that are going in and focusing primarily on non-motorized trails. But in some of those areas, there's a majority motorized trails. And so we have what's called trail rangers, and they'll be riding dirt bikes in some cases or UTVs in some cases and helping to clear trails from those. And I can tell you that when I was staffing those positions, I had people that I knew that said, wait, you're paying me to ride my dirt bike around and clear trails this year? And yeah, it's a pretty dreamy job, honestly. And
yes,
just, so we're so honored to be in that position.
And there actually will be some pay for those workers, which
is absolutely not
always the case.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. No, it's tremendous. Like I said, it's a tremendous honor to get to work with the Forest Service and the trust they've bestowed on us.
Let's talk about those paid positions, because it's a little bit interesting in the way that we can fund working on our trails, right? We know that from things like ATVs and dirt bike licensing, there's a bit of money that comes through. And is that from the state? From the state.
Yeah. So one of the huge pots of money, and you're kind of getting back to some of the etiology of where this came from. So, and, you know, so when... there's a huge pot of money that's called the IDPR, Idaho Parks and Recreation Grant Funding. Now, that pot of money, that pie, is divided up so that 30% of those projects are non-motorized, 30% are motorized, and then 40% are multi-use. So one of the things that was happening when I, in my work with Pend'Oreille Peddlers, was that we only qualified for that 30% non-motorized. And because of that legislation, last year when we wrote for grants, so many folks wrote for non-motorized grants that the pot of money actually shrank because there was not enough people writing for motorized or multi-use grants. So that kind of gets into the weeds, and I don't know how many of your listeners are economists, but again, when our board at Pend'Oreille Peddlers talked about the necessity to build a multi-use organization, honestly, a lot of it was just nuts and bolts. Like, somebody had to be writing grants for motorized and multi-use dollars. And a lot of the trails around here, you know, obviously, like, the Basin and Pine Street Woods, those are wonderful non-motorized networks, and those will not change. They will continue to be non-motorized only. But a lot of the federal and state land is multi-use. And so for us to be able to work effectively with those partners, we have to have a multi-use organization, and there's more funding available. Now, I'll also tell you one thing that we hear from our partners at the feds and at the state is that because we are representing everybody, because we're bringing everybody to the table, it makes the administrative burden for them so much less, because they don't run as much risk of litigation or fighting after the fact. Oftentimes in the past, it's been like, okay, well, if we give equestrians X, then dirt bikers will be frustrated. So there's been a lot of back and forth and bickering. And I think we're all kind of seeing that, you know, there's too much on the line for us to waste time fighting about whose form of recreation is the most legitimate. We just all need to pull up our bootstraps and get to work.
Yeah, and get that money released and get the trails worked on, because it's been a tough couple of years.
It has. Right. And like the changes in staffing coinciding with just terrible wind and rain events that we had last December. Like, if folks have been out in the backcountry, it looks a bit like a game of pickup sticks at some places. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to happen this season, and a lot of folks that we need to step up and do that work.
For sure. Now, you mentioned that, I hope I have this right, the Panhandle National Forest, that's your main, will that be your main area that you'll be
working? Yeah, so the Idaho Panhandle National Forest is where we have our stewardship agreement with the U.S. Forest Service.
Okay.
But then we also have a really exciting project in the Priest River area, and that is, so our tagline at the Trail Project is protecting access, building the future. So I think we've all seen how outdoor recreation can uplift a community and specifically our economies, but it also just improves quality of life so much. So my background is as a pediatric occupational therapist, and I'm so excited that we have a build project happening in the Priest River area where there historically hasn't been as much investment in opportunities to access.
Yeah, the recreational stuff is a little more limited there, it seems
it has been. Yeah. And, you know, my pipe dream is that we have single track that could connect all the way between Sandpoint to Priest River and then Priest River down to Spirit Lake and on down to Rathdrum. So our project happening this year is on the Hoodoo Mountain, which is behind right behind Stimson there.
Yeah.
So there'll be a few stacked, there's going to be a trailhead development and then some stacked loops that are probably no more than, I think it's 3 miles that we have mapped out for some walking, biking, like running trails. And then there is a motorized trail there as well. So
okay. Yeah. I've never been in that area. Walked a lot of spots.
You'll have to come out. We'll have lots of volunteer days. We do. So we have... Our model is that we have volunteers as well as a professional paid crew. So that helps us to kind of keep things plugging along with a quality of work that we're excited about. And then we plug in volunteers where we can.
Sure. And how's that working? Because I think those of us in Sandpoint and the overall area know that volunteers are highly sought after. Are you having some luck getting a few?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and we have a lot of volunteers. Like I said, I think... Historically, we haven't tapped into some of these communities to ask them to participate. Like I said, my friend who is a dirt biker said no one has ever asked us to do this work before. So, and that was our first Hayes Gulch day. And then it just kind of built from there that now the days that we have trail works there, we have more folks showing up from communities who otherwise haven't been engaged in the past. So yeah, we are lucky to have folks involved. I think I will say we also like barbecue at the end of every day, and there's always a hangout, like a social element, which, you know, I will go a lot of places for free food. But I think also it really helps to like build that community and break down the walls that have otherwise existed between some of the user groups.
You know, I really think that that's true. And it's not that there are necessarily negative feelings. You just haven't really hung out with the various user groups. And so it can be a challenge because we're all used to our own little, you know, our own little cliques that we sit in and our friends invite us to volunteer and we just aren't acquainted with the other groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we just end up in our bubbles and it's no one's fault. That's just sort of like there's just stratifications these days. And I think, you know, historically there have been areas where it's like, all right, well, that area is more for the equestrians and that area is more for the mountain bikers. But a lot of these areas are multi-use. And so bringing everyone together to see that we have this shared value system, I think is a really rich opportunity. I think it also... You know, folks just don't know what they don't know. And so when you bring folks to work together, they start to realize like, oh, that's my neighbor. I didn't even know he had a dirt bike, you know? And so it just, I think it does break down a lot of walls, which is really cool.
Well, have any projects happened yet or are you still in planning?
No, we started. It's exciting. Great. Things have kicked off. Yeah. And I do have some volunteers who are asking to not receive credit. And so I can't name them by names. They know who they are and they're heroic. But yeah, we've been able to get Mineral Point Trail cleared out this year. And we've been able to get Gold Hill Trail number 3 cleared out. Mineral Point was... a mess.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So this person spent about 3 days out there volunteering their time to get that cleared. And then one of the other new build projects that I haven't spoke of, but we have a project happening with the Lake City Trails Alliance down in Coeur d'Alene. So we'll be building 3 miles of climbing trail on Canfield Mountain. That's all going to be non-motorized. But my vision... You know, when I was at Ponderay Peddlers, one of the things I'm most proud of was creating this in-house build crew. You know, we've had this long history of incredible trail builders here, like, you know, Scott Rulander, Mike McCoy. Like, there's been this group of people who's incredibly talented, and it really is a craft to watch these guys work. It's artistry. So not only have I been able to capture people with that experience, but then when I took my job, my predecessor said, hey, there's this group of kids, they're building trails illegally, you got to shut them down. And I hired them because they have the enthusiasm. They have the want to be involved, obviously, in this community. And so hiring them helped create this whole new pipeline of professionals and stewards in the community. And my vision for the Trail Project is that we're able to offer work at like a living salary to those folks for 10 months of the year, which is why we have one, why we called it Northern Rockies, because I would love for us to have projects. You know, our build season's relatively short. Any gardener here knows that our build and growing season is relatively short here. So, you know, folks like Scott, we're putting together 3 months of build work and then having to patch together things the rest of the year. Well, I would love to be able to expand that so that we can keep the same wonderful talent pool and provide them sustainable work so that we can keep them engaged for like 10 months at a time.
Yes, trail building. And I imagine they think trail building is more fun than trail maintaining if they're designers and have learned these things.
Well, you know, I think I think that they are seeing that the maintenance, I think, is becoming in their eyes more sexy, honestly. Like, I think to our broader populace, yes, new is shiny and exciting. I'll tell you, these teenagers will approach me when I like see them out in the community and they're like, hey, can I get a McLeod or a flathead shovel? This one berm is totally blown out. Like, because they've built some of these trails, they have such pride of ownership over that they actually are more excited about the maintenance of it because that is their trail. They want that to look a certain quality when they get out there with their buddies. So it's really actually been of massive benefit to us that they work for us because they care about the upkeep of those trails.
Well, Emily, I love it that you've turned a bunch of little renegades into, you know, actual working folk that are doing the work of the community that we're have all decided is what we want to have happen. That's amazing.
You. Yeah. I think my high school guidance counselor would tell you that at times I've been a renegade in my life as well. And so, like, to be able, and again, as a pediatric occupational therapist, to create a space where youth feel a part of the process, where respect begets respect, where they rise to the trust that you give them, like, that's been a huge honor.
That really sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I think we'll take a short song break and gather our notes, and we'll come back, and I want to dive into the projects that you've got scheduled for this year and talk a little bit more about, you know, planning and, of course, contact information. Before we go to song break, can you give us the contact info for folks that might want to get involved and maybe consider volunteering with you all?
Absolutely. So our email, will track us down, is crew, C-R-E-W, at NorthernRockiesTrailProject.org. And you can also hop on our website, NorthernRockiesTrailProject.org, and sign up for newsletters. Also are on all social handles, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, and we're looking for the full name, Northern Rockies.
Northern Rockies Trail Project. Yeah, Trail Project was taken by some outerwear company that seems to have gone defunct about 10 years ago.
Oh, well.
Beat us to the punch.
Well, we know what it is and we can find you.
All right.
All right. And those of you just joining us, this is KRFY, listener supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And I am Julie Calamine doing the Tuesday morning show with Emily Strizich, who is the board director.
Board chair.
Board chair. Yes. I'll get it right. I'll get it right, Emily, by the end of the program here. Perfect. Or I could jot it down too. With Emily Strizich, board chair, we're going to go to a quick song. And it's going to be Martha Reeves, Dancing in the Streets. We want people dancing on the trails, but dancing on the streets is good. Well, that song really went by quickly. Hello, listeners. We're back on air here with KRFY 88.5 FM, KRFY.org. And just a reminder to those of you who were listening last week but maybe didn't find time to renew your membership or become a new member, Remember what you can do is just go ahead, go to krfy.org, look for that donate tab, click on there, and it will walk you through, or you can call us here at 208-265-2992 and leave a message. We'll get back to you. You could even mail a check if you're still in that mode, and that would go to KRFY PO Box 2465, Sandpoint, Idaho, and that is 83864. So with that little bit of business out of the way, let's get back to what's an interesting, really interesting, and as always, lively interview with Emily Strizich. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So during that short song break, we decided we wanted to hear more about what you've got planned. Yeah. And you started to tell me, but now I'll ask you to tell the listeners.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, that 2.5 minutes did go by fast because it was a nice conversation with you. Also, I just got distracted thinking about what a wonderful lost art form writing checks is. Anyway,
and
I digress.
And cursive handwriting.
Oh, my golly, it's incredible. Anyway, so I digress. Our very first trail work that we have kicks off April 11th, and that is at Hayes Gulch. That area gets a ton of use. And honestly, those of you hip to your Sandpoint outdoor recreation history, that is one of the first multi-use trail networks here. So,
and that one attaches to the rest of Gold Hill.
Yes.
Yep. I've walked up there.
Yes. So, and it honestly is a really interesting case study in land management because Trail 3, the Gold Hill side of things, is national forest. The Hayes Gulch side of things is state land. So, and there's a very obvious delineation between the two. So the Forest Service gets to decide a lot of different land designations. So they've decided that area is open. Trail 3 is open to non-motorized travel, horses, bikes, and hikers, or trail runners for the ambitious amongst you. And state land is multi-use. So a lot of those trails are used often and loved by the motorized community. And it is one of the closest trail networks for motorized users. So it...
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of steep, isn't it?
Part
of
it. It is. It is steep. It's challenging. It's challenging. It's not, it's rustic. I would describe it as somebody who does a lot of mountain biking. I would describe it as rustic. And we are so lucky to have like the beautifully manicured trails of the basin or Pine Straight Woods. For me, mountain biking at Hayes Gulch and Gold Hill reminds me of like biking in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so it's a sporty experience. But yeah, so that's when our volunteer days kick off. And then we have a May 9th, we have an equestrian specific trail work day out at Wiley Knob. All of the dates can be found on our website. And then we have actually a really fun collaboration happening with Gold Creek Lodge, which is...
And I've got to back up because I'm not sure where Wiley Knob is.
Oh, good question. That is out Grouse Creek Road.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. On your way to Grouse Creek Falls and that whole area.
Got it.
That area is really, there's a great trailhead that allows for you to park your horse trailer there. And so that's a spot where a lot of equestrians take off from. And that area also got a lot of grant funding in the past several years to restore it. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Before things kind of right. The final heydays of the Forest Service.
And Emily, who will work on that project? Will it be mainly horsemen? Will there be people with horses, or is it just like any other trail project?
You know, all are welcome. We are catering that one towards equestrians because that system is well used and loved by equestrians. Although I know quite a few like hikers and mountain bikers that are like, I don't know that area very well. And it is open to biking and hiking as well.
Okay.
So again, we're hoping to capture the enthusiasm of a lot of the kind of the groups themselves, the user groups themselves. But the day is open to all. The more the merrier.
Yeah, good. So there would be work for folks.
Whether, oh, absolutely.
Yes, no matter what their skill set would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that's a an equestrian trail project. What else have you got?
We've got, I started to say, we have a day happening May 16th with Gold Creek Lodge, and that is a private lodge out by the Clark Fork area, kind of over in the Monarchs. And they're opening their doors to our volunteers for the day. They do a lot of the lodge itself does dirt bike tours and trips. And so that one is going to be more catering to the motorized set amongst us, but also they have mountain biking trails out there. And just a cool opportunity for folks to see the lodge and get to experience that for the day. But again, there's more days. May 30th is that wonderful collaboration happening with Idaho Trails Association up at Trail 120. That all of this stuff can be found on our website in the calendar.
Cool. Now, you said there was going to be some work that's really sort of investigative. You're going to
be... Yeah, yeah. So inventory. During the break, we were talking about kind of the scale and scope of what the projects are for this year. And, you know, with the years of deferred maintenance that we've unfortunately had on these forests and also just the tremendous wind and rain events that we had last December. A lot of what we're doing this year is logging out the trails, just kind of triaging everything, logging them out, but then taking tons of footage, both aerial with drone photography, but also on the ground before and after, so that we can talk about like what trail work actually does, but also what the needs are moving forward, so that we're able to write more robust grants in the future. So, you know, maybe there's a culvert that got blown out and has been that way for years, and the water runoff has made trails almost impassable. So figuring out sort of where realignments need to happen and revisions so that we don't lose these trails any further. Because I think what tends to happen and what, I'm going to digress for a second here, but I inherited a bunch of maps that used to be my dad's topo maps that were from this area in like the 50s, because he used to hunt and fish all over this land with his dad. And so I inherited all these really cool maps. But when I look at them, some of the trails that were on those maps in the 50s don't exist anymore. And I think what can happen is if you don't use a trail because of, you know, deferred maintenance, neglect, like it's no longer passable, then those trails just disappear.
And they're forgotten.
And they are so forgotten.
Right.
Yes.
And so they can't become a favorite trail for someone and their kids because no one's been able to get onto them.
Yeah.
Do they really disappear? I mean, they do, don't they?
They do. There is a statute that if a trail ever existed on a map, it can be reclaimed.
Okay.
So that is, but I think when we look at the needs on the forest, that is a more central layer of the onion. So when I think about the scope of the work that we need to get done this year, it's really peeling back that first layer of the onion. And just getting things cleared so that they're passable and we can really see what needs to happen. And then in the next like 5-10 years, it's going to be doing like those revisions and realignments, which will be a lot more tread work and benching and possibly even like, you know, machine work with excavators down the road, replacing culverts, building water bars, those sorts of things. And then I would love if we had the bandwidth to be able to go back and reclaim some of those trails.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the trail organizations have that as a goal.
Yes,
and it's a slow
absolutely.
One. It's a slow one because maintaining the trails we have now has become such a burden. And that does bring me to the Forest Service and the burden that they carry due to all the funding cuts to them. You want to take a minute and talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, last year, right around when our board was talking about the necessity to build a multi-use trail organization, was when DOGE came in and just decimated staffing at the Forest Service, the recreation program specifically. And so folks with, you know, 30, 40 years of work in these mountains and the institutional knowledge that they brought with them just disappeared overnight. And we're so honored to be in a position that some of those folks who lost their jobs with the Forest Service are now working for us. And so, you know, that is knowledge and that experience. You can't replicate that experience. You know, I talk about like Steve Pettish, who was with the Bonners Ferry Ranger District for years and like really created like the example of what a recreational program can look like regionally. You know, he left last year, but he's working for us this year, which is such an honor. And he, like, the stuff he knows, like, I'll be talking with him about trails and I'll be like, oh yeah, and then there's that seasonal drain here where we could get water, but that usually dries up by July. Like, he just, the stuff he knows you can't replicate. So we're thrilled that those guys are working with us this year. And we will be taking most of our marching orders from those who are still in the Forest Service there. So Nate Demons will kind of be like one of our point people with the Bonners Ferry group that'll be working up there. And then Steve will be working with us. So
yes, and a big shout out to you, Steve Pettish, if you're listening this morning. I've had the opportunity to work with Steve on volunteer projects through Idaho Trails Association, along with Pat Hart. I don't suppose you're going to get her back.
She's truly retired. I have an aspiring lunch date with Pat, which I'm so excited about because she's just a legend.
And she knows her stuff, too.
She knows her stuff, and she is really the way that she was able to bring people in and get folks engaged. Like, her grassroots enthusiasm, I think, is unparalleled.
Yeah, she developed a lot of volunteer helpers for the Forest Service, and we can only hope that that continues. So shout out to you too, Pat Hart, if you're listening. And then it's so nice that Nate is still there with the Forest Service with all of his experience, but his crews are diminished,
They have diminished, And just about maybe a month or two ago, they did pass legislation that the Forest Service could hire seasonal employees. So they do have like a skeleton crew working with them this year. But again, with the Idaho Panhandle National Forest being like two Rhode Islands, you don't, you need more than a skeleton crew to get that work done. But yes, shout out to Nate, who's done an incredible job. And we, last year with Pondere Peddlers, got to organize a couple trail work days with Nate. And he's just such a delight to work with. And we're so grateful for him.
Right. That's amazing. And so how, and then I'll just ask, and is he happy and excited to be working with your multi-use and multi-group organization? How's that going?
Oh, incredible. He, you know, Forest Service documents are a foreign language to me, and I got a contract. This is just a quick Nate Demon story. I got a contract from the feds, and I might as well have been reading Greek. And so Scott Rulander was out of town at the time. Greg Williams was out of town. Both those guys speak fluent Forest Service. And so I was going down the line of Forest Service guys I know in the community. And I reached out to Nate and said, hey, any chance you're available? And he said, when do you need me? And I said, now. And he was to my office in about 15 minutes to look through the document with me and go through. I mean, he's, bless his heart, spent like an hour and a half reading through these. They're called challenge cost share agreements. I don't know why the challenge is, like I said, foreign language.
They're challenging.
They're challenging, sure. Exactly. But no, he's been an incredible resource. And I hope we make him proud this year.
I hope you do too, because, you know, there's nothing sadder than making a plan to get out on a beautiful day hike or a longer hike and just hit a stretch of trail that looks like it's going to stop your trip.
Oh, absolutely. And, and things are truly impassable. I don't know how to convey to your listeners that it just, I've seen footage and been out on trail where it's just literally like somebody dropped a bag of spaghetti with the amount of trees that are down. It's like, forget riding wheels over it, but like even hiking through it is
right. It's hard for all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's such a special part of this part of the country to have access to these national forests and the trails that help us get in and appreciate the beauty.
This might be the cynical side of me. You know, we've had a couple of our partners at the Forest Service told us, like, we're their last best hope to keep these trails open. And again, it might be me being really cynical, but I worry with the way that we've seen public lands be under threat from different senators throughout the country, that if these trails languish and then this area itself becomes unusable, then it would be easier to justify selling those lands off to the highest bidder.
Right, because we wouldn't have all the people who had experienced them via the trail systems that are
suddenly
so special.
It just becomes this like gnarled old forest as opposed to this incredible jewel of a community. So if folks can't get out there, then they don't know what they're fighting for or voting for. And like I said, I think in this community specifically, there is no more unifying cause than access to public lands. So I think that's what we're seeing as we go out and build bridges amongst communities and user groups.
Well, I sure hope it becomes that dream, that mission that you've established for this organization. Emily, you won't believe it, but we've been talking for about 45 minutes, which is, you know, as long as many of our interviews even go. But I was hoping you might share with me just sort of a dream of what this organization might become and what might grow into.
Wow. Thank you. I'm trying to be quick because I know time is of the essence.
Yeah, we've got time for this.
Ideally, you know, in 10 years, I would love to see every community connected by single track. I would love to be able to get from Sandpoint to Clark Fork to Heron, down to St. Mary's by single track. I'd love to be able for folks. I just think we could have this interconnected community that can uplift the Naples of the world. And, you know, I think that would be incredible. I would love to, like I said, have a professional trail crew that's employed 10 months of the year with work that is both sustainable and that they're proud of. I would love for my kids to have these memories where they say, oh yeah, that stream runs until about July.
Yeah. And kids especially, because if the kids don't get out and start to learn about our recreation space, that's the issue, isn't it?
I have to tell you, I have drugged my kids to a lot of things in the 8 years that I've been a parent, and they like nothing more than trail work, because it really is just like low stakes gardening. So you don't get mad when they're they're supposed to be picking up rocks and sticks and throwing them off the trail. So yeah, I hope that we can build a community. And I just bringing stewardship to the forefront and have everybody feel like they have a place, making our public lands better.
Well, I think that's a great way to draw this conversation to an end. And so, Emily Strizich.
Also, thank you for nailing my last name. You're doing, yeah.
Oh, good.
It's not an easy one, but you're nailing it.
Well, I'm trying. I haven't got your title very well, but I've gotten your name. But you are of the Northern Rockies Trail Project. Go ahead and give us the contact information one more time.
So our website is northernrockiestrailproject.org, and you can track us down on Facebook and Instagram at the same Northern Rockies Trail Project.
Okay, very good. And listeners, it sounds like whatever your thing is, if you're a motorbike, if you're like motorbikes, if you're an ATV user, if you like to use a chainsaw, let's see, if you're on horseback, if you love biking, if you love hiking,
running, fishing, boating, hunting, all of it, there's a place for you here.
Yes. So this is a place where you can go and not have to wonder if you're going to fit in, and can do some good. And hopefully we'll get more and more of the trails opened up and looking good.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Good. Hoping it works out well for you. Well, guys, we know that today is the last day of March, so tomorrow is going to be April Fool's Day and April 1st. I've got a little song picked out for that. April Come She Will with Simon and Garfunkel. And I may be back on with some current events, or you may just get music. It depends on how I'm feeling about last day of March. All right, here comes April Come She Will.